In the name of the one who is, and who was, and who is to come. Amen. Amen. On this eighth day after Easter, pay attention. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Jesus is talking directly to you. Not an everyday occurrence. So swim in Jesus' blessing. Consider it another Easter gift. Well, we hear today the gospel about doubting Thomas. It's on the hit parade of gospels that comes around and around often. And what popped out at me this time, and probably given our universe of computers and everlasting screens, was the face-to-face contact in the gospel. Now, theologically, we speak of the incarnate Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. We remember Christ's incarnation at every service in the Nicene Creed. Jesus came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. And again, in the Eucharistic prayer, God sent Jesus Christ, God's only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us. What struck me about the gospel is how each of us is changed by coming to face with each other. But now, in these days after Easter, we meet a different Christ, because Christ is risen. The Jesus who shared our human nature has changed. He died and he was raised from the dead. But he just didn't leave us. He comes back in these post-Easter Gospels in several venues. And I think that it is very significant that he just doesn't leave us to wonder. Jesus' presence marks a new beginning. It marks the end of death, the promise of newness, new life, new hope, new growth. New. In his book, Holy Things, the theologian Gordon Lathrop puts it this way. To encounter Christ risen is to encounter God's Spirit and God's mercy. Things that have been promised for the last day, when God's dwelling is to be with humankind, and tears are to be wiped away. Christians believe the eighth day meeting is already the dawning of that day. The eighth day is the beginning of a new creation. Now, in a world where so much just doesn't really seem to change, kind of goes around, comes around, it's easy to overlook this new light of Christ. So please, tuck this new light into a place in your heart. Well, it wasn't so easy for Thomas. He was set in his ways. I am reminded of our Easter dinner where we had a 5-year-old girl with us. We've known her since she was an infant. And she kept following me around. Let me do it. Let me do it. Let me help you toss the salad. Let me help you pour the coffee. Let me help you carry this big stack of china dishes. Well, I found a way to involve her in every task, just like Jesus gave Thomas what he needed. He let him touch his side so that he could believe. Well, all this about being face to face and believing and growing in faith had me captivated by a story that I experienced this week, and I want to share it with you. It's about a woman I know who can be very dramatic, and she's Italian, so if I get the foods wrong or the recipes, please forgive me. But she remembers in her childhood when she would go with her grandparents to Federal Hill, and they would go shopping. One store for the eggs and cheese, one store for the meat, one store for the bread, one store for the pastries, and they'd get them all in the car, and then the car would stink all the way home from the cheese. So this is a big part of her life, and she shared with me how she was going to make Easter dinner. She was making it. It was Holy Saturday night. She said she had taken the ricotta cookies out of the oven. She had made the gravy, the sauce, she'd made the meatballs, she had the three cheeses, and she was ready to make the lasagna. Now, it was 7:55 in the evening, and she went to reach for the lasagna, which she had bought at Federal Hill, which should have come apart easily because of the Seminola flour and the wax paper. She's going into the whole thing. I was so hungry. And then she said, the lasagna sheets were stuck together. And she said, I had tears. I had tears in my eyes. And so here I am, she said, covered in flour. I have my apron on. And I thought, well, why not? I'm going to call the store. So she calls the store. I can only imagine what they heard. And the man says, well, I'm the manager. I will bring you a whole sheet of your lasagnas. I'll bring them to your house. And she said, well, there are two bridges out between there and where I live, and so I'll come to you. Okay, so she goes to him on Federal Hill. Now, just imagine this meeting, okay? Here she gets out of her car, covered in flour, with her apron on, to be greeted by a man from a family-owned company from generations to generations, handing her a pan of lasagna. It's such a powerful moment. It reminds me of Jesus, of the disciples encountering Jesus. The generation from generation, the love, the emotion. You know, you just never know what a pan of lasagna will come to bring to light. Well, it's just as those traditions and recipes and emotions and memories were passed on to my friend, so it is with our faith. Lived faith is a human connection. We read in today's collect, we who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body, that we may show forth in our lives what we profess by our faith. We try to do this, I know, every single day. But poor Thomas, you know, I give him credit because he was authentic as to who he was. He said what he needed, and Jesus gave him what he needed. That's an important part of prayer, being authentic. But he really missed something else. And that's the value of community. Here were his disciples. They were afraid, hidden in a room, and taking solace from one another. It probably was like a family that gathers after a tragedy, when you just kind of look at each other and look and pray. They had been with Jesus, this group of 12, for 3 years. And they had seen his miracles. They had asked questions. They'd heard the explanations. They'd been through the trials and the tribulations. But at that moment, it seemed to count for nothing to Thomas, even on that eighth day after the resurrection. He was unable to believe in the power of that community that has sustained him to the core for those 3 years. I find that incredibly sad. Incredibly sad that he could not be changed by the experience and the faith of the others. "So show me," Thomas said. And Jesus did. He rolled with it. "Peace," he said. "Here's what you need to have faith." That's one thing to take from this gospel, that Jesus will meet us in our need. Jesus will bring us mercy, compassion, and a listening ear, as will a faithful faith community, where we grow in the depths of our faith to the very core of our being. So blessed are you who have come to believe. May you pay attention to this new beginning of everything new. Alleluia, a new creation, a new hope. And may you grasp the joy. Take time to really, really digest what this means. And then share it. Go out there and change the world face to face. In the name of the risen Christ, amen.